said, we're going to bring the Town of Discover Bay Water Wastewater Committee meeting to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present, with the exception of Water and Wastewater Manager Goldsworthy and District Water Engineer Shob.
And at this point, we're going to go to public comments. At the moment, there is no public here. If the public does show up, I will go back and we'll reopen. But at the moment, we're going to close public comments. And move on to item C, draft minutes of the May 1st meeting. Do I hear?
I'll make a motion that we accept the minutes.
Second, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And at this point, we're going to move on to E3 because of our presentation needs to get done right away because those folks need to move on to another area. So staff will go to E3 regarding security.
I'll turn it over to Bernie.
Thank you. I've got Ed's worth here. We've been dealing with for the last couple of last year about our security, and I would really come to let you know what we're thinking and how we want to proceed.
We're security companies. We've been working in the area for about 24 years. Bernie came to us.
Could you speak up, please?
Yeah, Bernie came to us regarding the security system for the building, regarding access control of the video. So we did a thorough investigation and system designs for all the sites, and we provided several options based on our recommendations. And the product that we're recommending is a Vigilon, which is a US-based manufacturer, Plano, Texas. We've done demos. We've got the manufacturer. I believe the solution seems to fit what you guys are looking for. And we're here really just to answer any questions you guys may have. I'm not sure if you've seen the proposals or the designs, but
because we talked about doing this in phases over the next several years, and we talked about doing defenses, security gate, you know, locks, and camera system, and integrate them over the next several years. And a lot of the brands will integrate all those over the next several years. And but they've got some options where the town would buy everything, all components, and then in the town be able to monitor it in and out, and they also provide a service where the town installs the equipment and they monitor outside. So there's some options there. So it depends on which option and how we want to go. So originally, all the members that had questions about options are how you see the program going. If you have questions about the system, this is all the town facilities. So they looked at the community center and the fire station and the town office. Everything is included in what that says. And the first phase was putting in accessible gates at the water plants and at the wastewater plants where it would be controlled coming and out, doing business and after business. And phase two would be access control of all the doors inside the community town at all the buildings. Like a file or a car swipe, and it would record who goes in and out at certain times, and alarm would set at certain times. And then the third phase would be adding cameras to the system where then you can monitor, activate the cameras at certain times at different locations, who goes in and out at certain times.
Essentially, the locations are currently pretty old and vulnerable. So the goal is phase one is just to lock it down in the perimeter and provide a way for personnel who are supposed to be there can come in and out and monitor the sites as well. So we can then audit or pull reports of who came and went and that sort of thing. Phase it out to kind of keep it in line with the budget, but to provide a solution that would ultimately be expandable. Really future-proof.
Because you brought up the word budget, I have to ask about the numbers. So the first phase went to purchase the hardware, if you will, and a limited number of cameras, and then enter into the software agreement. Is that?
No, so the first phase is all the hardware and the labor to solution that we're proposing is something that there's no reoccurring costs.
So this is automated gates?
They're motorized gates.
Motorized gates.
We're retrofitting the existing infrastructure to be accessible by a motorized gate, along with vehicle readers, so when somebody pulls up, they don't have to get out. Very easy, except it scans the vehicle, almost like a fast track
right.
That allows them in.
Where's the computer system that's going to come?
There's going to be a head-end computer system. We hosted at Plant 2.
All right. So right. All
the sites would then tie back to Plant 2's head-end. And that server processes the access control, the roles, the permissions.
Right. So that the gate automation, the hardware, the computer system, the transponders that are on the vehicles and all that. So that total package is.
There's the. You have the main.
Yeah, so we have the three main sites, right?
The current of the four.
So that's your.
You want to know the call.
The current is just the two wastewater plants and the two water plants, which we
right
in the main office.
Right.
And for the gate access right now, I think the original, the first physical was around 120,000.
Right.
That's where we're at on that. But one of the questions is that do we want to invest any money in Plant 1 since we don't have, before we get to Plant 1 now, do we want to invest money there now or at a later date when we do the other way?
That's a question.
That's such a simple thing to think internally.
I don't see the need.
So I think that's just something that.
But I see a camera.
There's already a camera there.
I think the future of Plant 1, where we've been discussing a little, I know Greg, you think there's an importance to it. Once that's determined, Plant 1 becomes as important, if that is determined.
This piece and not knowing what the second piece is, and then come to I'd rather get back and have a better meeting. Security only, we talk about the whole thing, we flesh this out as well. Based on what you're saying, you would put locks and stuff on doors prior to putting cameras in. In my opinion, right off the top without knowing, I would rather have cameras in and then we get in. So I think we ought to have
a different discussion.
See the whole picture.
Some of the ones are Bosch.
The Bosch cameras are out.
The Bosch
on which committee would that be?
The Arkansas
cameras.
Well,
yeah, but I don't think we have time to do that.
Well, no, I think this was just to tell you, this is just a summary. Before we get into the...
Well, it's a hard pill to swallow because we have nothing to So Bill asked the question, how much do you get that? What's the time frame for you say over years?
Well, we're looking at over about a 3-year period. We're trying to budget it out over a 3-year period.
We have CIP.
Yeah, it's a CIP.
We definitely
have it's just security.
350 or
no, it's not for full 350.
Yeah, we didn't budget for 350.
Yeah. Well,
we budgeted for phase one. So we have phase one budgeted and we have part of phase two budgeted.
And our CIP in phase one is?
I think it's a 110.
110, not 120.
Right, yeah.
That's all right.
Really, I think phase one is really priority one, right? It's the most important is to just lock down the facilities from the gates perspective.
Well, I don't disagree. It needs to get out of that's not a question. We have to look at the 5 to 10 to 15 year picture out there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which brings us to the question of, okay, how long does this, I mean, you're going to have dates, you're going to have a maintenance program for those.
Sure.
Keep up, break, the whole maintenance side.
Yeah, because plant two isn't having a gate there. There was a motorized gate in a pedestal that we got knocked off years and years ago. And plant one the same way, but they still got old components there that
good.
But just wanted you to be aware of what we're working at, what we're looking at, and if you had questions, we know which direction to go down the road. And as we plan in the next, like I said, several years, we know what to plan, what not to plan, and all that. So just want to be aware that we're working on it and where we're headed, and if you got any ideas or changes. And then we can meet back later on at a special meeting, whatever, just want to know where we're at.
Based on just the concept you have now, when would the phase, if it was to be approved by the board, when would you see phase two, or phase one starting to be implemented?
So the new budget, I mean,
that's a week.
That's a good idea, sometime after the new budget.
When would all the
I can't do anything until I see the paperwork. The preliminary, you drop the drop on the table, we understand.
And that's
the
hundred.
Did you want to schedule a dedicated security meeting? That'd be nice.
I think so.
Schedule it with who?
This committee's fine.
You want this committee?
Yeah, this committee.
Yeah, we can handle it. It's just a matter of that week.
Yeah,
you're looking for input for in the future. I want to be able to give you my future.
Sure.
Input. Yeah. I think you just need to spend a little bit more time. You guys are up to speed. That concept, I think.
We may have to schedule a special meeting so that we can go as long as we need it to go. We're not up
I would
think
an hour.
Once we get some documents and we can see the milestone.
Yeah.
So we can bring a proposal back when we do that. Would you also want to see a demonstration of the software? So we can also bring
if you can do that in an hour, I'd love to see it.
I don't think an hour is enough for that.
Perfect.
Well, an hour to 12.
Okay. And where are you located?
Pleasanton is our office, yes. We're located right down by our house. So, normally we'll come with packets for everybody and all that stuff. But it's kind of just a preliminary.
I would think we have to have a security meeting, if you will, as part of something prior to being able to recommend this.
Sure. We did that, but that wasn't the chance of that.
And just back to your selection process, so you interviewed a few companies.
Yeah, we actually had three come in.
utilities. For most of our utility clients, we also do services called remote video monitoring. So the cameras that we have proposed have artificial intelligence built into it. And they're loading that speaker. We actually have our own 25,000 square foot command center for live agents that monitor.
And where are they?
Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So it's a US based command center. And so what we do is we draw digital line barriers around properties such as fenced in areas. If somebody would approach our agents can engage voice scale. And really, it's about preventing versus reacting. So that's another potential. That's all for other.
Well, the only since we've dealt with it a little bit, just do you act as the contractor then for any of the subs that are needed to fulfill this security?
Absolutely.
So we need fences or gates. You go to the subcontractor. You have those property.
We don't specialize in everything, but we have a list of.
We started in November, this master plan, we recognize the importance of updating data. The biggest thing that's occurred in the district of late was the original master plan was done in 2013. The flow to the plant at that time was 1.8 MGD, million gallons a day, 1.8 million gallons a day. That was the flow in 2013. In 2018, that flow is down to 1.32 million gallons a day. So the first thing that kind of popped into everybody's mind, we said, when we're going to redo this master plan, we want to make sure we understand, what does that mean when the flows go down? Does that mean things will be smaller later? Does that mean they'll be cheaper? Does it mean it's going to be harder or easier to do whatever it is we need to do? And this is the document that's defining what that means when the flow goes down and what your community is doing and what we're doing about it. So today we're trying to bring you up to speed about what we found about the special testing. So remember, we did special testing in January. We got some questionable results. We turned right around again and did it again with three labs in April, March to April. And now we cranked through those results, and we have a memo now. We have some results to present to you. And really, this memorandum is sort of this with the other tables that I've given you. There's really two memorandums that define what it is we're trying to accomplish in the material plan. The original goal for the master plan, when we did it in 2013, the other land use map, was basically, we have a land use map with everything in red that's inside the boundary of Discovery Bay. And then there were two properties, Pantages and Newport Point, that were outside the boundary, that were going to be sucked into the boundary. This land use map came from the county, and the direction at the time was, hey, we want to know that the treatment plant that we plan for in our master plan is going to cover our community inside the red lines and these two little properties that are outside. And that's going to be a certain, at the time, we came up with a wastewater flow and a wastewater load, biological load. It also, by the way, that defined the population, which we want to talk a little bit about today. Okay. So the first question that came up is, what's the purpose of the master plan? We're planning a treatment plant, treatment facilities for your community. This is the defining document of your community. So if there's a parcel that's zoned commercial, we estimate a certain amount of wastewater flow and biological load off of that parcel. If it's zoned high density residential and it's not built yet, then we're assuming a certain number of homes or condos are going to go in there, you know, and that's a certain population of people. And so what we've done now in the master plan is we've defined the scientific part of it, which is the flows and loads memo. How much physical flow, how much physical BOD loads is going to come into the plant. But there's a separate memo, which is number three, that defines, well, what community are we serving? What's the community that we're actually serving? And one is the land use map, and then the table, separately the table that I gave you. So today, what we're going to try and do is talk you through this. I also gave you this table here, okay? So there's two elements. I'm going to talk you through the community end of this, okay? What does it mean when we look at this map? What does it mean in terms of people that we're going to serve, okay? But the long and short of it, and then Steve is going to talk about what the memo says, and he's got a summary for you about what the memo says, the big picture concepts out of the memo, okay? What's going to be important about this is we need everybody on the same page as to what we're trying to accomplish with the treatment plan, because there'd be questions like, the first question was, well, if the flow's gone down, does that mean we don't have to build as much going forward? And and we're going to answer that question, right? And then there's maybe other questions like, well, our community right now is 15,000 people. Do we really need to plan right now for 18,000 people? Or do we want to change direction and only plan for who's here now and not worry about who's coming down the pipe kind of thing? Those are important questions because we don't want to get to the end of the plan and say, well, it costs $8 million or it costs $10 million to do what you want to do. And then people say, well, what are we doing? Or, you know, is there a way to make this cheaper? We have to define what it is you want us to accomplish first. You know, previous direction was fit everybody in our boundary and pick up Pantages and Newport Point. And then we know what we build is what for our community needs. You know, and if it's outside the boundary, it's likely such a long off project or so big that we'll worry about it down the road. That's been the general direction. That was the direction 2013. It's the direction we've been proceeding on now. But this is your point to have your input into these discussions, okay? So the first thing I'd like to do is go through population first. So there's a table here, and there's a graph. There's a chart, and there's a table. And then Steve will go through what all this means on the technical side of things. Okay, so this is the land use map that went in the original master plan. I think it's current. I don't think it's changed. And I don't think Pantages and Newport Point officially in the district yet either.
No, but there's plans. We're in the process of having Newport Point in the district.
So if you look on the table 3.1 on this page here on the bottom, this table on the bottom, we'll go to the top in a minute, but look in the bottom. What you see is this is what's left to build in Discovery Bay. This table 3.1 right here in the bottom. This is what we think is left to build. Okay? So if we weren't going to build anything, it'd be real easy. We'd just stop right now. You got a flow of 1.3, you got a biological load that comes in now, and we're done. This is what we designed for. But you still have something left. And you have less left to build than you used to. Because in 2013, you still had a lot of homes over there not going to build. Okay? So just wanted to walk you through briefly. Approved but not yet built homes. We have 67 left of all the Hoffman development area. Kuiper Homes have been bought those super pad. We have 67 left. Inside Discovery Bay, they're still vacant lots. And we're still tracking 44 vacant lots somewhere in Discovery Bay. We have Pantages, which is on the books at 300. And Newport Point on the books at 70. Hoffman has his villages planned for 76 homes somewhere. I'm not sure where they built five or somewhere. He's got 76 homes running around. The golf course has 13 undeveloped lots. There's a couple of 5-acre lots that are floating around in your boundary that can stick a house on, put one home on. There's the Evans property, which we carry 19 homes on. It's zoned agriculture, but it's all surrounded on three sides by development, and it could flip.
Where is it?
It's on Bixler. So
Barrier's Church.
See where it says A3? See right here? Up here on Bixler, halfway up on Bixler, in the top left-hand corner, sort of the middle red box, says A3.
Yeah.
Okay.
Got 2A.
This is the county map, and technically that A3 is agricultural. But it's surrounded by development on three sides. So when you go up Victor Road, you'll see this like just empty space there for a little bit. That's this property. Oh. Now, right now, the zoning is you can put one house on it. That's what the zoning is. Yeah. But when you're on the east side of Vixler and you're surrounded on three sides by development, it's conceivable that someone would go in and rezone that and work it out with the county. The county is probably that'll do it. So we're carrying 19 homes for that area. Okay. Now we don't have to. These are decisions that the town can make. You know, but at the moment we're looking down the road about what could happen, and we're trying to account for it. The other thing is Discovery Bay Willow Lake condominiums. This little 5-acre deal we got over here is zoned commercial, and we used to carry it as commercial, but people have been talking about maybe condominiums popping in there instead.
Or apartments.
So we've added 80 homes for that. Now, again, there's no defined map. There's no map. They don't have zoning. They don't have zoning for it, and they don't have a map on it. But people are talking to the town about it, and the question is this something we should plan for or not? But we basically sat down with Dina and Mike and Sue, went through the land use, and said, okay, this is what makes sense to do. One thing that's left off this list, when we did the 2013 master plan, we did this exact same thing. We went through this, we came up with our little table, everyone was good, and then we go to the council, and everyone comes out of the woodwork and says, What about mine? Someday I might have homes on mine. Someday I might do this. Hoffman was the biggest there, and he came up with 122 homes somewhere. I don't know where he was gonna shove them. And we agreed to modify the plan to accommodate those 122 homes at the time. So if you look in the old master plan, it says there's a line item, Hoffman, 122 homes. We've gone through the whole thing now. We can't find these 122 homes. You know, we've gone through the land use, we've gone through vacant lots, maps. You know, all I can think of is maybe it was mixed up with these 80 condominiums or something like that. So we've dropped the 122 homes. We can't find a record of it. We don't, like, there's no map, there's no discussion. I don't know whatever happened to 122 homes, so we just dumped them. Okay? So these are the homes we have left. And then underneath there, you see a line item, homes and condominiums added 322 to 318. So we're doing a little record keeping there to get to 38 because there's different dates when we're getting data from the town. So there's a little record keeping there. And then the last thing that's down here is we carried 661 vacation homes in Discovery Bay. We carried that as a guess from Virgil as to how many homes in Discovery Bay are not full-time occupied. So what matters is if you look at the 2018 census, the 2010 census said there were 2.86 people per household in Discovery Bay. So every time we add a house, we add 2.86 people. Okay? What's important about that is when we look at flows and loads, we're looking at how many people you have and how much biological load hit the treatment plant from all those people. Well, if you have 661 homes that aren't occupied all the time, it affects the answer, right? Because there's people aren't there. So the question has always been, we've carried a deduct, we carried a basic 25, we took 661 homes and we multiplied by 0.25 and said, well, we think those people are around 25% of the time. And they contribute 25% of the load to the treatment plant. Okay. And we said, okay, that's cool. But now that we're redoing all this, first off, the 661 was kind of arbitrary to start with. The 25% was kind of arbitrary to start with. And then realistically, you have no control whether those houses sold and become full-time occupants or not. So we think it's prudent on this plan going forward to convert those 661s to full-time 100% use. At some point in build-out, people are going to stop using them as vacation homes. They're going to sell. Young families are moving in and be off.
Sell for rent.
You know. So the real thing is, usually you guys give a will serve. It's a new house, you give a will serve. You can't give a will serve. It's an existing house. It's just people showed up, right? So we think it's important to plan for the fact that you may have a conversion of vacation homes to permanent property because it exists. There's a house there. Someone can live in there full time. So if you take 661 times 3/4, the remainder, we get 496. And essentially, we end up with 1,208 homes of all the stuff. 1,208.
Where
left to build?
Is that, where is it that the where the community center was supposed to be?
Uh-huh.
Is that factored in? Where is that?
So
the lot that I'm looking at across from Timber Point.
I'm not 100% clear.
But it's not
that.
A lot. It's a good size.
So I'm not really sure about it. It's 12 houses, so 2.6 times 12.
Okay.
You should look at that. It's right off of
so
Newport.
So at the
right
moment.
Well, I think Sue included that somewhere because
yeah,
I had mentioned
okay,
it.
Okay, I don't know what it is. Okay.
Undeveloped lot. If it's a vacant lot, it could be in the vacant lot.
It's in the Hoffman part because there were 44, I think, in this phase, and I think she did include those 12 lots into that 67.
It is 67. Okay. So we think, as we said, we kept sat down, see when those are all the records. We've done the best to try to track it down. But this is the point to ask, what about this or that, and make sure it's in or out relative to what you're speaking. The most important thing is, what we've learned is when the flows went down, the biological loading did not change the treatment plant. Water conservation dropped your water usage, but your biological loading didn't change. And it really is about people. You know, in 2000, so if you go to the top chart here, the 2010 census, you had 13,352 people here in the 2010 census. And by the time we got to 2018, you added another 1,600 people, 1,661. Now, how we got that is we know how many homes you built, we know how much stuff you built, and we multiply by 2.816, right? And that's how we get there. So we're assuming that the population of Discovery Bay is remaining fairly stable to the 2010 census in terms of people per household, you know. But what you got to recognize is 1,600 people showed up. Your flow went down, but you didn't get it for free. People showed up, right? So it doesn't make sense that just because your flow went down, that suddenly you can accommodate 1,600 people and nothing happened, right? right? That doesn't make sense. What we found, and Steve will go through this, is flow went down, your biological loading didn't go down. It actually went up slightly, which is what we'd expect, and that's what our special testing showed, okay? So what's important here is we are planning for your existing community with this land use converted to this table. And then we mix in a little business park at Mixler, a little Marsh Creek office for some acreage, and on Highway 4, there's 5 acres of commercial. We mix that in, and that is this defining flow that goes into this nice thick metal here. Okay, that Steve's going to talk about. So what's important about this, and where we don't want to be, is last time we did the master plan, we thought we were done, got all the way to the end, and people come running in and saying, what about me, what about my house, right? You know, so what we're trying to avoid is that again. And what we really like to do is, what's clear is flows can go up, flows can go down. You really need to think about it as people. You know, if that's the simplest way to think about it, because we have to track flow for the tree and plant, we have to track biological load, but that comes from the people. It comes from the people, you know. And like I said, vacation homes, if they fill up, there's more people, you know, there's more stuff. So we feel pretty comfortable. So what is happening in the master plan is the flows are lower. We're gonna show that you have lower flow. And your ultimate build-out flow is lower too, but your biological load isn't changed much from what we planned before. And Steve will get into that. So I'm gonna let Steve talk about his memo next, but are there any questions? This is important because these two documents, combined with all the research that we did and all the testing we did, take you to this document. And this document, then we build on these two pieces of information when we size stuff, when we make decisions about how much equipment you need, how big a basin you need, do you need plant one or do you not need plant one? Those decisions fall out of the decisions that you make about, yeah, we want to be able to accommodate these 3,000 extra people or 1,200 people, you know, or 1,200 homes, which is another 3,000 or so, 3,800 people. You know, we want to be able to accommodate those, and that's the purpose of this plan, and maybe it takes us 20 years to get there, but, you know, we want to put it in now and not have to do it twice. That was the direction last time.
All right, question I have is on these two areas that are this one up here, and this one up here.
Yeah.
And
so that's Vantages
and Newport. Vantages and Newport.
Yeah,
and
Newport. Newport.
And does that take
Newport takes half. About
Vantages is the top half. A third of A3 and be about a third of A3.
Right. What? Okay, but that's all Vantages up in here. What's this?
That's open space.
So it's declared open space and it can't be built.
Well, it's a marsh now, so I mean.
Right, so it's environmentally.
Right. It's environmentally tough, but here's the thing. If no one's got a land use map on it now, and it's zoned open space, we have no way of guessing what you might put in there.
Right, so we don't need to spend the money thinking somebody's gonna change from an environmental impact that it are.
Right.
So I'm comfortable with that.
It's the bottom half of Pantages.
And you don't show.
If you look at the bottom half of Pantages, it gets pretty marshy. It's not
going to right. North Point's over here. This is North Point.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the we're working with LAFCO now. I would say it's probably about like this.
Right. So what about the rest of that?
So well, some of that is, I think, is the water treatment plant. Is it not,
no.
Maybe, or is it
it's
just
right there?
So
it's
no, cool. It's just that big open space. Well, that's agriculture. That's defined agriculture, A3, right now. That's the zone A3.
Yeah.
They can farm it. And then it's open space behind the shopping center. It's open space behind the shopping center.
Right.
But that's green, you know, because it's like marshy beach, and you can see what that is. There's no way they want to build there.
All right, so we're, and again, we're not too concerned with this section that's.
Right, so you have some 5-acre lots. You have some 5-acre lots right in here that they can put a house on that are blank.
And
we're picking those. We're picking those up.
All right.
But if you're outside the line, this is it. If you're outside the line, unless your name is Pantages or Newport, you're outside this line. You ain't in the map. You ain't in the plan. That's how it is. Unless you want us to tell us something different, but that's how it is right now.
Staff has worked on this, looked at the numbers, worked with Gregory on this, and so staff is is comfortable with the numbers.
All right. And the biggest thing that we want to point out, and come back to this table, is your population increase. In 2010, you had 13,000 people on the top line, 13,300. You added another 1,600 by 2018. And so we're tracking you to May, March to 15,000. And then basically, you have room left in your community for another 3,800 people. And that's essentially what we're accommodating. And the long and short of it all is we're saying you have 3,800 people left. I don't care what the flow is. I don't care if the flow is 1 or 100. You're going to have 3,800 people left to accommodate based on your planning. That's your current planning documents and what you've talked about, the condo, a few different things. Okay? And so one thing that was difficult and created confusion on the last master plan is we talked flow so much that when flow went down, everyone thought, okay, flow's down, we got a freebie. We got free people, right? When you think about it, 1,600 people showed up, we got them for free, nothing happened. You didn't have to pay anything. Well, that's not true. You used up a piece of your plan. All right, so with that, I'm gonna turn it over to Steve. He's gonna talk about the science behind this memo, which is how did we take all this population data, but really, we did all a bunch of special testing. What did we find in our special testing? The special testing, by the way, pretty much backs up what's happened with your population. It pretty much tracks right along with what's happening in the population, so that we feel pretty comfortable with how that came out.
Okay? Yeah, so one thing, I want to back up just one thing.
Can you speak a little louder, please?
Sure.
Thank you.
So I just want to back up 1 minute before I kind of get into the weeds on this, because I was around when we did the original master plan. And so a bunch of effort went into doing a master plan. We show up to your board meeting, and there's all this controversy about population and who gets served and who doesn't. And as a consequence of that, we had to go back and do a revise to the master plan and spend a bunch of time and effort to do that. So we have purposely, with this round of doing this master plan, trying to take it deliberate to the fact that we maybe get some decisions from your board that everybody is in agreement with this. We don't have developers showing up and demanding that they, you know, the 122 homes pop and that sort of business. Because as a consequence, if we go to your board and we do the complete master plan and there's that controversy, then we spend a bunch of money and waste of time. And that's what we're trying to avoid here. So with that being said, the other thing that I want to point out with the 2010 master plan is there was some suspicion back then about this whole business about the BOD loading, the organic loading at the treatment plant. It seemed to be a little bit out of character for a lot of communities here in the valley. And even when we prepared the master plan, when we looked at the data and stuff, we said we've got to compare this to population numbers and do this comparison. And if you went back and read that master plan, you'd realize that, you know, that issue never really got resolved about why is the plant reporting these low BOD numbers when we know we have this population, we know typically what people produce organically. There was a problem with the check on this thing. And so we did that master plan. We used numbers that were a little bit more conservative because we had some suspicion about the plant data, the sampling data that we were looking at. So lo and behold, here we are now, 2019, and we've got the same issue, right? We've got very low BOD numbers and very, very, and lower, it's like Rick said, lower flow numbers. Okay, the lower flow numbers can be easily explained. The state has gone through a very severe drought. There's been conservation measures. We've seen this in every community where the flows, populations are increasing, but flows have been going down. And that's simply due to conservation. But in those communities, as the flows go down, the organic concentration, we measure that in BOD, those numbers have gone up. And so it's all kind of made sense from a mass balance situation, right? Lower flows, but people are still pooping and doing their thing. And organic loading is, the pounds of BOD is the same, but the concentration concentration's higher because the flows are lower. Does that concept make sense to everybody? Okay. So now we've come to Discovery Bay, and the question is, well, our flows are going down, but our BFD numbers are really low. So maybe there was something else going on. Maybe we had, maybe we were able to correct our INI issues or whatever, or do some things. And there was some hope that maybe the current round of sampling and stuff would validate this, that we got low BFD numbers for whatever reason and low flows. Not sure that anybody ever really could have bought into that, but we had to do our due diligence and see if that was the case. And there was, and, you know, there was some hope that maybe that was the case, because we know that with the changing regulatory environment, you're going to get a new waste discharge permit, NPDES permit, that's going to be more restrictive than the one that you have. We've got issues with ammonia going into the Old River, those type of things. And if you actually have, were able to say, our plant is oversized, maybe there's some things you can do that can reduce the cost of improvements you got to make to accommodate your discharge permit. Okay, so with that all being said, now we come full circle. We've looked at the plant data. Lo and behold, average flow is now at 1.32. Back in Greg said 2013, but I think the actual number was 1.8 in 2010. And then what he was referring to was that number was probably carried over to the 2013 revised master plan. So we went ahead and said, you know what? We certainly can understand the plant data regarding flows and stuff, but we think that the BOD, total suspended solids, ammonia, all this stuff is very, very questionable data. Okay? And we recommended that we do some special influent monitoring sampling on this thing to try to validate this. So if you want to go ahead and kind of read along with this summary, I've kind of taken this, what's in this chapter or master plan, and I've kind of put it into some key findings here. So we'll just kind of go through this and explain what happened with this. So item number two was the first round of doing the special influent monitoring study on this thing. And after we got through doing this and looking at really funky data on this and diving this a little bit more, we realized that we do have a problem here. And the problem with this is that the way that the sampling is set up on this thing, we have a problem where we get ragging around the sample. So you pull your sample out, you got these rags around the thing. These rags form around, they form like a filter. So what you were essentially getting is filtered sample. And so, okay, hey, that's not good. Let's try this again. And I know Greg came to one of your meetings, he explained all this thing, and went through sampling, went through a second round of sampling on this thing. On the second round of sampling, we said, hey, let's make sure, let's rule out and make sure that the sample, there's not something wrong with the laboratory data we're getting. You know, because it's either we're getting erroneous numbers, either by the process of taking the sample, or the lab is doing something that's funky with these numbers. So we said, okay, this time we're going to go ahead and send split samples to three different labs on this thing. Well, so we go through this, and once again, as I mentioned previously, it was about halfway through this monitoring state two that we really made the determination that this is not, once again, this is not working out, because we continue to have this problem where we got ragging on the sample, on the sampler, or the sample's being taken. We're essentially getting a filtered sample, which means that we're not getting representative data on this thing. So we went out there, went out in the field, we did some modifications at the headworks, we put some temporary blocks in. This is all discussed in detail in this report, so that we can get a better representative sample that is downstream of the headwork screens, so we can eliminate this ragging issue. We had to do these kind of temporary modifications to the headworks downstream of this, because we didn't want to have interference from the return activated sludge flow coming back to the headworks and those type of things. Because we wanted to get the raw wastewater to get that sample and try to get reference to the sample. So it seemed like we, once again, so we get that set thing that happens on this thing is our sampler. We're taking this corporal sample. Doesn't function the way it's supposed to. It doesn't give us a flow proportional sample. It gives us a time to process. We can make it work, but now we have to use some engineering judgment on this thing because we're not truly getting a flow proportional sample where you take a sample every hour and it represents proportional to the amount of flow coming in. This affects, if you compare that to a time sample, typically your time sample or 24-hour period would be about 10% lower based on our experience on this thing. Okay? Finally, we get to the study, and we do this, and we look at the data, and we see some problems with the data from the three lab. Why are there differences here on this? And again, we have to spend more time investigating this, figure this out, and our conclusion on that is that on the sampler, the sample is put into a large jug. That jug sits there, the jug's pulled out, and then they split that sample three ways to send the labs. And if that sample is not completely mixed, and there's some technique to doing this so that you don't have a settled sample going to one lab and less particulates going to the other, because what happens, BLD, TSS, those type of samples are very sensitive to the particulates in the wastewater, not just the soluble stuff. Now, the ammonia samples were very consistent on this because it's all soluble. So we were getting consistent numbers from all three labs, but we were getting different numbers from three labs because it was clear to us that one lab was getting more of the particulate type sample and one lab was getting less. But we could see a consistent pattern and make some deductions from this and come up with some conclusions on this. And the basic conclusion is this, is that back in 2010, the sample data indicated that the BLD number was like 163 milligrams per liter. Okay? That number was always suspect. When we did the master plan, we provided justification for using a more conservative number. We used 200 milligrams per liter on BLD for the BLD in the 2010 master plan. Lo and behold, we come around, we do the sample. Our conclusion, looking at this, doing the analysis, is that the BLD concentration, the most representative BLD concentration right now is about 275 milligrams per liter. Okay? Then the next step is to go ahead and do a check on that. Okay, if we're going to say that the flow is at 1.32 million gallons a day and the BLD is at 275 milligrams per liter, now let's compare that to population numbers, textbook numbers on typically how much BOD or how much organic load is contributed by an individual based on the demographics, et cetera, et cetera. And let's see if that number makes sense, if that BOD concentration makes sense. And in this case, it seems to be, it seems to gel pretty good with the population that you have, the type of demographics you have, seems to match that much better than the lower number that we previously had.
Okay. So I imagine 15,000 people you have currently at the time of the sample.
Right.
Based on 15,000 people, it comes out, and that's an independent check on what we found through measuring.
Right.
The 275, by the way, was just the average of the three labs. We just took the average of the three labs. We said, this guy's high, this guy's low. We just took the average of three labs. You end up at 275.
Yeah. So, like Greg says, there was a check on this. It seemed to be a reasonable number based on that check, and we also compared it to, because we do work at other communities in the valley, and how do these numbers compare to other communities, and it seems to be right in there. Okay, so we're very comfortable with this number. We think it's a good solid planning number that's not too conservative or grossly underestimates what type of load we have. Bottom line is this: when you take this BOD concentration, you take this flow, you take flow times concentration conversion factor, you get pounds of BOD, okay? And when I talk BOD, we're talking about organic loading to the plant. When you do these numbers, you got reduced flow, but slightly higher concentration. In the end, the total pounds of BOD
is still is close, but it is slightly less than the last time we did the master plan. So our BOD numbers, if you turn the second page on the summary, but anyways, when you in the report here,
turn to the last page.
Just turn the last.
Go to the last page.
Here. Yeah. So when you look on table 512, and you look at the go down about halfway down the table below the flows, you look at the average annual load, and you compare the numbers here. And the column that I want you to pay attention to is first column talks about existing conditions. Baseline future talks about what Greg talked about is represents the 1,200 homes added, the population added on this. There's a third column that talks about alternative future, where what if we have an extreme situation where we're mandated to do more conservation, we go from
more
say
water conservation.
Yeah, more water conservation, we go from 84 gallons per capita per day down to 50. How does that affect that? Again, that's simply just a conversion of lower flows, higher concentrations. In the end, the most important number on this table is the number under average annual load and average day maximum month loading numbers. And if you go down the column for the baseline condition and you look at that number, the BOD number here is 3,738 for average and then 4,860 for average day maximum month conditions, which is typically what we design for. And you compare that to what was previously done in the master plan, these numbers are slightly lower. Okay? So
that's compared to the 4,000 number. 4,037.
Right. And is that because on the previous master plan you knew there was something wrong with something, so you just bear it on the high side?
No, I think it had to do with the fact that the previous master plan used a BOD concentration of 200 and used a flow projection that obviously back then the assumption was that flows were going to increase. This is the concentration. Lo and behold, here we are later. Flows were at one time of 1.8. And we think those flows are represented, but now the current flow of the plant is 1.32. So now we've had to reset and say, okay, We think some of the water conservation going on is going to be a permanent fact of life for citizens in California. We don't think we're ever going to get back to numbers. When I first started this business, it was not uncommon to use 120 gallons per capita per day. And then even before we got into the drought, we were using numbers like 100 gallons per capita per day. Right now, for Discovery Bay, the number is 83.5, 84. So
they're about the same. We also adjusted, we threw out the 122 homes, and we made some other adjustments on the population. So there's two factors. One is, the 200 that we assumed before, and we cut back some homes.
Based on what you said, with the analysis going to those three labs, figuring out how the samples were taken, et cetera, averaged them all out, that BOD loading is basically similar to other communities.
Yeah,
at those levels, so that gives us confidence that we're not the BOD. We were assuming the BOD load for some reason was much less, and we needed to increase it somehow.
Right.
We don't have to worry about that anymore.
Right.
That's correct.
I think one of the most important things that comes out of this tech memo, and even with all the fiasco with about the sampling and everything that happened on there, is that I think there's a validation, an explanation of how this was derived. Comfort level is we're more convinced than ever that the number that we're representing now is true.
Correct. That's where it's going. Today's number, based on all the stuff we've done and looked at, we're more comfortable today than we were in 2013.
Yes, right. In fact, in 2013, we didn't like the number so much that we just said we're not going to design to it, we're just going to make it higher because it was so troublesome to us. We just that just doesn't match what it should be.
We simply could not.
So we went with what's called the 10 state standards, you know, where they just take an average of 10 states, and we just said, no, we're not going to go below 10 state standards, regardless of what these numbers are.
What were you guys hoping to get from the board tonight? Just kind of an acknowledgement that these are the numbers we believe are valid and that we want to start considering how what we should build based on these numbers.
Right. Yes.
Then what I would do with permission of the committee
the
here
is,
hold on, because we're winding down. We got it.
Okay.
Is that when you do your presentation tonight with the board, I would just say, and unless there's an objection or a concern, these are the numbers that we feel we were going to run with.
Yeah, you've got to take your 30-minute presentation to 5.
Yes. Yeah,
which I think the analysis of we did 3 samples, we averaged them out, we figured this out. Our number, our BOD loading right now is average of every other community at the same level. We're comfortable with that.
But you're absolutely right. What we'd like to walk away from this board meeting is at least direction, but proceed with finishing this master plan now.
Right, and the way I would phrase it, because there's an issue of agenda, is to say these are the numbers we intend to proceed with unless we hear an objection or something from someone on the board.
Right.
Yes.
Okay. So the big one is this table, right? You know, because, you know, this memo builds off of this table of homes, right? And we don't want to repeat the last time.
Right.
We thought we had showed up.
Yeah, we're not going back to the problem.
Yeah.
So what's happened over the last 8 or 9 years is unprecedented. And I'm sure you guys were reeling on looking at data that didn't make any sense. Who would have believed that California residents could reduce as much as they did?
Yeah.
You could have never put that in the
Of course, the scary future.
So I understand the confusion, and I think there was some confusion in the ranks, not just by us, but by you as well. Tonight was a night that you convinced us that you believe or tried to convince us that the data is solid and you found the pieces of the puzzle put together.
Yes.
And I commend you for doing that. But this is, you know, the master plan is a living document.
Yeah.
We're going to do our best from our side to give you all the information you need, but things change.
Yeah.
And that's the one guarantee I'll tell you.
Right.
It probably won't change that much because I think we're pretty close.
But
you've experienced it for years.
You know, like I said, for the last plan, it was fun.
So thank you. Thank you for coming in and explaining.
I have a clarifying question.
Sure.
So you base this off of 83.5 gallons per day per person?
No, Bernie, that's only a check. We come back and see after we did the analyze the samples and did this.
But my question was, instead of basing it off the standard, it's usually 0.17 pounds per person.
That's correct.
Which if you use that, the number is a lot lower.
Yeah. To be absolutely clear about this, the number that we come up with, the 275 milligrams per liter BOD,
it's 0.19 pounds per liter.
Yeah. It represents 0.19. So very close to your 0.17 number, right? But anyways, the analysis is done, and then the check was to go back. Let's look at finally the water rate, let's look at the water consumption and all that, and see if we're not out the right field on this.
Yeah. No, I was just curious about the gallons compared to that.
Yeah.
And then on the last table, we have the word alternate future, just so you know what that means. The state is mandating 50 gallons per person, right? So they're saying we're gonna drive that floating motor, but we're trying to point out your BOD's not going anywhere. Just because you shut the flow down doesn't mean you got less people. You're gonna increase your people. So that's why we want to think, you know, if the states are going up and down with flows, they're going to do this, you need to start thinking about people and start worrying about what the flow is, because you got to track the load, is what we have to track.
You got to think of a low flow toilet. It's using less water, but there's
still
the same product.
The same stuff going in.
Let's say.
So right. Tonight's meeting is, the answer will be, this is the numbers we're proceeding with in the master plan. We're just going to state it that way. And then if someone has questions or objections, oh, we don't want to do that, then you'll let us know. Right?
Okay.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. I was going to actually offer something and just say we did a 2015 urban water management plan, so we also had to do a per capita analysis. We were always on an EPU basis. But during the drought, it was really important to track things per capita, because that's how a lot of the metrics were. We looked at the same, you know,
forms in the 2010 census data. We did a very similar analysis independently. I'm looking at my numbers right now. Pretty darn close to what you have, just on population basis, in terms of the population, which is an adopted document that the town has.
Yeah, we're at 18,539.
Thank you for that.
Actually, if you want to send us a copy of that, I'll put it in our
chat.
All
right, sounds good.
So I'm going to just pass these around. Maybe if we could just.
Here, I'll talk past one.
All right.
Thanks. So this is the presentation printout that I plan to deliver tonight. And this is just a water update. Actually, these packets go with the two. This is for you, and just pass those down. They're loose paper, sorry about that. This is just an update on the water system and water projects. Mike asked if I just gave an update on kind of where we're at. I don't think it's been a while since I've been here. How much time do we have right now? 5 minutes?
Yeah, because we have two other things on there, the shed for vehicles and reject water.
I just want to give you a sense. I just want to give you a sense of what we're going to talk about tonight. And I definitely have some detail I can go through right now because we're short on time. So I think what I'm going to open with tonight is just a water system overview. I'm not going to spend too much time on that, but I want to give the audience an appreciation of, okay, let's switch gears to water.
The board. You give it to the board, not the audience.
It's a big, thank you. Yeah. I'd like to give everybody on the board, not just the two of you, you know, everybody on the board, an appreciation. So we'll just talk about that. A couple of pictures and photos and a map. We'll say these are the wells. There's a cross section on groundwater. There's a couple sentences we'll say about well design. We'll say you've got six wells, you've got two treatment plants, you've got these storage agents. This is how you get water into your system. And this is how we think about it with regard to the design of the wells. And then from there, I'm going to move right into some of the projects that we were working on this last year and just give everybody an update on that. Just so you know where those land is. There. So we did the rehabs on well 4A, well 2, and those are now done. Those projects are completed. And then the packet that I gave you was the final costs, as-built well profile, pump profile from the information that we put in. Some photos that I'm going to have some of these slides on there, but in the packet, additional information was some photos, some information regarding like we're reusing the motors. We were walking the line between what do we replace and how much money do we want to spend now. And there's kind of a different story between both wells. So we're building some reserves in the CIP for a motor replacement on well 4A. And we're talking about maybe some other upgrades at well 2. The well 2 is one of the older wells in the system. So I have a slide in there that's on the table on the wells that talks about the age of the wells and just gives everybody kind of appreciation for each one kind of has its own story in terms of how old it is, what history it's had, how old the pump is, because it's not just the well, it's the equipment that's in it. And the equipment that's in it is going to last a lot shorter than the well itself, typically. And the equipment we just changed out on the rehabs were like 16 to 18 years old, which is pretty long for a downhole equipment assembly. So we got our service life out of it, and we did the rehabs and restored some of the capacity on well 4A. But an important note is that you don't ever restore back to 100% capacity. We're basically a filter in the groundwater, bringing water in from the aquifer. As it ages, different factors can lead to failure, and one of those typical factors is clogging. It just clogs up. We have manganese in our system, so it can oxidize and clog up. So that's what we attack in our rehab. When we start to see that decline in that trend, there's a graph that's in there that shows you how we do biannual testing. So we look at this stuff every 2 years. So it's just important giving everybody appreciation for that. And that's really just kind of a close out for that rehab that we did. Then I'm going to move on to well 8 alternatives, give everybody an update on kind of a recap and a little bit of an update, but we're not at the point of, we haven't delivered anything on that yet, but we're still talking to staff and we're about to be presenting a draft memo on the study for well 8. So the presentation today is just going to recap. These are the three CIP items that we're addressing with this alternative analysis. There's a figure showing this is what it would look like at Newport with the new tank. There's another figure on this is what it would look like with the new tank. And then a discussion on what we're trying to achieve with the well 8 alternative analysis. But there's really no new information that we're presenting on that today. So there's not really necessarily have to talk about too much right now. But the important note there is that the we were studying four sites for Well 8 and honing in on two of them as being what looks like most feasible. But in that process and looking at the data from the model, we're also revisiting the fire flow standards that led to the decision to put a tank in Newport. What I mean by that is there were some piping alternatives presented in the CIP and the master plan from 2010, and those have a big impact on how much water is drawn from each treatment plant during maximum day or peak hour flow, which relates to how much we need to have in reserve maintained. There's a certain amount we need to have reserved for fire because hydraulically they'll operate however they operate based on the pressure set points and the piping of the system. So when we started looking at the model and playing around with it, we realized we proposed these piping upgrades in the master plan, but if we go to where they're at today, it drastically changes that almost to where maybe we didn't need the tank if we thought of piping differently, perhaps. But we don't want to create a whole new study on what we're doing now. So we're essentially just saying, what is the design standard we should use to land on whether the sites are feasible or not to offset the need for welding? So I'm not going to get into the weeds on any of the details. I'll just kind of say we're studying it, this is where we're at. But in the next, hopefully by the next meeting, we'll have delivered a report, we'll have met with the staff, and we'll be able to give some real detail on what we did on the study there. Then I was going to give a little update on the Laguna Crossing break. I don't know if the board was made aware, but there was a pipe break under the crossing under the report. So we've been working with staff on that. And essentially the slides kind of speak for itself there. It just goes over what took place. It's an isolated event. That crossing is isolated. So it broke, it was bubbling up out of the surface. And what we're thinking about now is, understanding what caused the break, because there's 11 other crossings in the system. We did some modeling to look at what the hydraulic impacts are of closing this particular crossing to ask ourselves, do we need this particular crossing or do we need to replace it? And it just happens to be in the part of town where pressures are the lowest. So if there's any crossing we want to keep, it's probably this one. But there's some alternatives on piping we could potentially look at if the cost and logistics to replace it just seem exorbitant. So right now we're in a mode of investigating what caused the break, because if it was just a joint that broke or something like that, we might be able to just repair it. It's a low-cost thing. But we still want to think about the larger picture of there's 11 crossings that go into the bays, and that's what provides movement and hydraulic efficiency in the system. So then I just provide some notes on the modeling that we did, and then some notes at the end on what we're currently exploring right now, just some of the things that we're talking to contractors about. Then finally, the last slide is on the PLC and SCADA upgrade, and it's one slide that says it was on budget, on schedule, and there were no issues. So it was kind of end that one there. Final retention pending some as-built and final program codes from the contractor, but the project is new, so.
Okay.
Good
point.
I do have a question for the board. They wanted us to update everything on wastewater too, but in the agenda, I think we were supposed to give updates on quite a few things, I thought, for wastewater.
Yeah.
I don't know how much time you really want to spend on stuff, but to me, the more important issue to discuss is the master plan. If you really only want to spend 5 minutes on it, then we will, and I can touch on the other ones too, or I'm not really clear how much info you want to push forward on the board.
We're not looking for decisions at the board meeting this evening, and a little bit of an update. I think I agree with you, and the most critical thing right now is how we're planning for the future.
Right.
And the future is the master plan.
Right.
And you figured out the anomalies, why we couldn't figure out what it was. I think that's what the board probably needs to hear. And
right.
As we get closer on these other items, we can give it up.
Right. So maybe I'll try and go into all the other items.
But there's not time now. What was requested by a board member was, I'm not in these meetings. I'd like to know what's going on.
That's too bad for
him.
We're not going to conduct a wastewater meeting at the board meeting just to please him.
Right.
So I'm sorry, but that's how it is. Right. We've got time.
So how long do we hold it to 10 minutes or something for the
minutes? I think it's fine. You guys got this condensed. I think you're condensed and take care of that.
Here's your table.
If you want to throw a couple of things, that's fine.
Here's
we, we can't update. Right. That's why we have committee meetings. You're not on one. I'm not going to ask for a full review of the financial committee meeting.
That's
important.
No, I think he just wanted highlights.
Well, that's what we're highlighting. Yeah. But we're not going to spend 3 hours with highlights.
Okay.
7 o'clock?
Yeah.
7 o'clock. Okay. Okay. We have a reject water discussion. Who's that?
Okay. So, go ahead. This is Bill Tyler.
30 seconds.
Tell us what you want to
do. Discussion regarding the reject water.
Okay.
Oh, it's good. You're happy.
No, I'd like to have that agenda. I'd like to talk about that and the shelter on next week.
Let's push it down.
All right.
Just carry it.
So you want to trail those items?
Yeah.
Yeah. Perfect.
And you were ready, weren't you?
I was ready.
All right.
Maybe you can read more.